Switching from expert leadership to spanning leadership requires a new mindset and a new set of skills. Leading successfully in the spanning world means recognizing the way you interact with your team is going to change. In her book, You Can't Know It All, Wanda Wallis presents the framework and tactics she has developed to address the challenges of this balancing act. She offers strategies for individuals to navigate their new roles and combine their expertise with their spanning leadership responsibilities, including many tangible business examples to bring this to life. As we prepare to delve into our conversation on the topic, General Management is Dead, How Expert Leaders Can Advance Their Career, here's an exciting twist. Wanda, get ready for a rapid-fire round of random words. I will mention a few. And I would like to hear the first thing that comes to your mind in response without thinking too much. And let's dive right in.
Okay.
All right. Here comes my first word. It is boss.
Coach.
Invention.
Invention. Creativity.
Mm-hmm. Book.
Me. Writer.
Future.
Future. Thinking.
Adventure.
Adventure, hiking.
Food.
Hot.
Okay. Fame.
Trouble.
Next one is bucket list.
Do now. That's two words.
Superb. Money.
Necessary.
Success.
Success, impact.
Last one is life.
Life. Joy.
All right. So thanks much for participating sportively and really appreciate it. And folks, welcome to the Guiding Voice podcast series, where we embark on transformative conversations for a better future. I'm your host, Naveen Samala, dedicated to making the world a better place through valuable discussions that add value to your life and to your career. I hope you are ready to jump in and thank you so much for tuning in. Wanda, hearty welcome to the Guiding Voice. Thank you so much for being part of our journey.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
All right. So let's get into the conversation, Wanda. And I'm really curious to understand the top three things that have attributed to your success so far.
Okay. People who know me are not going to be surprised by any of these answers. So number one is a heavy dose of stubbornness, as in not giving up. Now, that doesn't mean just pursue it forever, but stubbornness. Okay. Second is a willingness to just jump in and say, if anybody can figure it out, so can I. So that kind of faith in myself, if you will, and I don't know, willingness to give it a try. And the third one, probably the most important one, is I think for my entire adult life, in fact, since I was in my teens, I have been a student of human behavior. What is it that people do and how do they make sense of their world is the question that I have been asking forever. And that willingness to observe and notice, I think, is really part of the core success, added to a heavy dose of stubbornness and a willingness to jump in.
Spot on. Here comes the next question. The three questions that one must address to get outside the comfort zone. And I have had my own dose of comfort zone, and I just moved out of my comfort zone by leaving a job at General Electric, where I had a great career trajectory. In fact, I was promoted 8 times in the span of 11 years, but I felt maybe I am getting too much into comfort zone and I moved out.
Okay.
So that's my experience.
There are three core questions, and each of those have sub-questions underneath them. But the number one question that allows you to begin the idea that you can move out of your comfort zone and understand how to succeed is, how are you adding value? Mm-hmm. So when I'm in my comfort zone, when you're in GE, in your last job, or anybody else, particularly when you've developed some expertise in the work that you're doing, you're in your comfort zone. You know how to do the work. You know what people know, what you don't know. You have a network that sort of allows you to do that work. It's comfortable, and you know the value you're adding. You can go home at the end of the day and know what the company didn't get done if you weren't there, or wouldn't be able to get done if you weren't there. So when you move out of your comfort zone, the hardest part is, now how do I add value? And so that understanding what skill, what capability, what thinking, what experiences am I bringing to this event, to this world, in order to add value is number one question. If you get that right, the second question following on behind that is, so, okay, what's the work I'm supposed to be doing? Like, how am I spending my time? So I know how I'm adding value, but now how am I doing that? And by the way, if I got a team working for me, how do I make sure they're doing the stuff they're supposed to be doing? Because I often can't check it. So how am I spending my time? What's the work I'm doing? And then the third question, and probably the hardest and the most important, after you've gotten the first two straight, is how are you now relating to people? Because who your network was, who you were talking to, the reasons you were talking to, how you were interacting them will now change when you move out of your comfort zone. It'll be a new set of people. It'll be a new set of dynamics, and it will be a different kind of interaction. So how am I relating to people? That means how am I resolving conflict, building trust, etc.
So profound questions. And I think if we are able to find answers to them, life is all set.
Well, and the first, they build on each other. If you don't understand the value that you're adding, then you have no idea how to define the work. And then once you understand what the work is, then you can say, okay, who are the people and how am I related to them? What's the na-na-na-na? I can get there, but I can't start at the people without understanding the value.
Absolutely. And Wanda, also you mentioned, you talk a lot about delegating effectively, right? So how can leaders leverage and delegate effectively?
Okay. All right. Delegating is everybody's bane, because most of us are pretty powerful in our own area of expertise. We know how to do it precisely exactly what happens. We have a high degree of perfectionism, and our job is largely high quality, high standards. Okay. Delegate. Most people, when they delegate, they say, here, Naveen, this is yours. I want you to do this job. And they do a bit of, I hope it works out okay. And it's really not delegating, it's dumping. Basically, what I would be doing is dumping it on you, Naveen, here you go. Now, if you think exactly the way I think, that'll probably work. The chances that you think exactly the same way I do, pretty slim to none. So that is not a strategy that's going to work. And if I tell you what to do, here, Naveen, here's how to do this task, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, you're going to roll your eyes and think, oh my goodness, you won't remember it. It won't make sense. You don't know why. You'll forget half of it. And I still won't get what I want. So the only successful way of delegating is, in effect, coaching you through how to do the task. And I do that by asking questions. I get you to think, and I'm steering your thinking for what I know you need to consider already by the questions. So I would say, what are the steps? What data do you need? Mm-hmm. Okay, what do you think you need to do with stakeholders? Well, wait, let's talk about the timeline for those stakeholders. What do you have in mind? And I see you missed something. I'm going to ask a question about it. It becomes your thinking. Now it makes sense to you. Now you're going to follow it. Now I know where it is, you know, like the timeline of what's happening. When my boss calls, I know what to say. Hey, boss, tomorrow we've got X. I can give you an update then. And more importantly, have a moment to touch base with you. So I can say, Naveen, collect the data, do a first pass on it. Let's look at it. Because I may see things you won't see, but I can catch it then rather than a week later.
Yeah.
Ask questions. It's the only way to get there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I can resonate with you. Most leaders think that dumping is delegation, but that is not true. And unless and until we are confident, and if we can show them or give them the required support, I think we'll not be able to delegate effectively. So that is very clear. And moving to the next one, when to lean on the expertise and when to lean on spanning.
Okay, this is the hardest part, because in most careers, there's some proportion of expertise and some proportion of spanning. And by spanning, I mean you're looking across domains over which you have very little knowledge. So breadth, not depth. Expertise, I have deep depth of knowledge, but not a whole lot of breadth. So when you have no one on your team who is an expert in an area, or you had somebody and they've left, you have to either fill that quickly or go in depth yourself. So somebody has got to have depth. So you're looking constantly at your team to say what's here. It's also true if there's suddenly a crisis in your area, like something broke. you're going to be sucked back in to the details to help back to the expertise area to help solve that crisis. When that's over, then you want to come back up and go out across the spanning, across the breadth again. So it's looking at where's the capability, what can my team handle, and where else am I adding value? So frequently, if you've got the depth on your team, you're adding value by reaching across the organization, by connecting the dots in your team's work and in other people's work and impact on your team. So, but if you don't have the depth, then you've got to do it yourself. That's the best way to describe it. And there is a seesaw, sometimes one, sometimes the other, just depending upon the situation.
Yeah. Now let's double click on the value addition part. So how can we build, enable, and add value to the team?
Yeah. This. So we often think about wanting to work for a manager who knows our work really, really well. In fact, better than we do. Because then we'll say, "Ah, I respect that person as a manager. They have credibility. Mm-hmm. They know more than I know." Okay, great. When we get a manager that doesn't know our area, the first immediate response is, why that person? Who do they know? And what kind of crazy system, whether it's the old boys network or the, you know, whatever phrase you want to put in there that says they don't deserve that job and huff, I don't really want to work for them. That manager, though, has to figure out how to add value in a very short period of time. So it's true, you're not going to add value by helping your team get stronger in their depth of expertise. That's not it. But you can help your team by helping them join the dots to other areas across the organization, by opening your network, introducing your team to other people in the organization, by representing your team well in meetings that your team members can't be at, by resolving conflicts with other areas in ways your team members can't do all on their own, by coaching them, by helping them develop their leadership, not necessarily their content expertise. Those are high value add components that a leader adds that we want from our leaders. And we ignore it when we're in the expertise space, in the spanning space, it's all you've got.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Can I give you a story here, Naveen?
Yeah, I was able to ask you any real life story.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a woman who takes over as CFO of one of the business lines in a big company. A little surprising because she's never been a CFO. Now, she's got finance background. She was in treasury, to be specific about it, but she'd never been CFO. And the entire finance function is looking at her thinking, why you? Like, what on earth are you going to add? And she says at the very beginning, I'm not here to tell you how to do your job.
Mm-hmm.
I can't. And you know how to do your job.
Yeah.
I am here to help the big company CFO drive through a transformation in the finance that's going to make us stronger partners with the business. That's my value add. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I am not going to micromanage how you do your job. That's not the point. So she was very clear about what her role is. And people were nervous or skeptical, but it didn't take long to realize that she had access to senior leaders that the team didn't have.
Mm-hmm.
And that she understood where those senior leaders were trying to take the company and why finance needed to transform and helping them understand what to do to transform. And suddenly, she's great value add.
Yeah.
Now, financial crisis, she's the wrong person for the job.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, got it. So what I could get from this one is, as long as you are able to connect to the vision and how your work is adding value, then people will come along. Like, though initially there might be a few hindrances as such, right?
Yeah. We can't kid ourselves about this, though, because everybody that's working for you wants to know, basically, what are you, boss, going to do for me?
Yeah.
Right? How are you helping me move my career forward? And you need a credible answer to that for every single person on your team. And don't just say, because I understand the strategy.
Yeah.
Make that very personal for each person.
Mm-hmm. But we rarely find those kind of people who can disseminate the information to the associate level. Right.
Right. Now you know why communication is so critical.
Absolutely. Now, let's talk about your podcast. I have listened to a couple of episodes and the content is really intriguing, out of the comfort zone. And please share your journey, like why did you start, and also maybe briefly talk about one or two best episodes.
Okay. All right. I started with the intention that I was doing 13 episodes and then quitting.
Oh.
And I thought, okay, I'll do some things for people that would never have the opportunity to come and listen to me talk or be part of my class because they're at different levels in their career or different size companies or different countries around the world. So it was a bit of a give back strategy. Mm-hmm. My executive producer, Robert Cialdini, said to me, "You want to do this, Wanda, because you're going to meet people you would not meet otherwise." And I thought, yeah, I'm still doing it 10 years later because I'm meeting people I wouldn't have met otherwise. So now I have license to call anybody in the world and say, "Can I have an hour of your time to talk about your life's work? And I want you to summarize it for me and tell me the secret ingredients." How good is that? So I started as a give back. I do it now because it's my learning laboratory.
I think part of it resonates with me, not part of it, most of it, because we get access to people. And like, in fact, I started this journey in 2020 and it's been little over 3 years and there's no looking back and it has become an addiction. Now I have my own brand and I can reach out to people and experts like you and get into a conversation. Otherwise, it would be very difficult to find Wanda's time. Who the hell Naveen Samala's time? And now let's talk about the book, You Can't Know It All, right? So can you share a few snippets of what is covered in the book?
All right. So the book is how to answer the three questions that I gave you. What's your value? What's the work you're doing? And how do you relate to people? And it's talks about you do each of those one way in the expertise space, and you do it the polar opposite when you're in the spanning space. So we walk through the characteristics that have to shift back and forth in the two, and then give you tons of exercises on how to do that. So in each of the three questions, so altogether, there's like 25 questions that you have to address, but they're categorized in those three spaces. And it comes out of my coaching practice, quite honestly. I was watching first women get stuck in their career, followed by IT professionals get stuck in their career, followed by any number of professionals reach a level and they're stuck. And their fundamental question is, how do I take the next step? And they didn't understand that the next step is away from the expertise. Mm-hmm. There's no space left to go in the expertise. So it's out of that into something broadening. And you don't have time to develop a whole new area of expertise, at least most of us don't, because it takes 8 years to become a real expert in something else. So it's not going to happen in the course of your career. So it was watching people struggle and not understand why, and trying to explain to them, no, the game changes at this point. To advance, you have to broaden, which means go sideways. And it's scary. And that's why the book came to be.
Awesome. And folks, you'll find the link to the book in the show notes or the episode description. So go ahead and grab a copy. And Wanda, this has been an incredible conversation so far. It's now time to add some excitement. Get ready, Wanda. As we dive into a series of intriguing rapid fire questions to spice up the episode. If you're ready, let's dive
in. I'm ready.
That's the spirit. And here comes my first one. If you could have one gigantic billboard anywhere with anything on it, what would it say?
The journey is the reward. It's an old saying, that Zen saying that I found on some ridiculous Zen calendar, you know, one of those day by day. And it has stuck with me to this day. The journey is the reward. We get so focused on the end goal, we forget the pleasure in the process. And that is my watchword and my motto in life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Concur with you. Many of us just focus on the destination, but don't enjoy the current moment and the journey as such. Yeah.
The process. Yeah.
And what is your least favorite word?
Can't.
Super. Can you describe yourself in just one word?
Say that again.
Can you describe yourself in just one word?
Let's see. I always wanted people to describe me as gracious. Mm-hmm. So I hope that that's the one word people think about when they think about me, gracious. Mm-hmm. It's an aspiration, though. Let me be clear. So I hope that's the one. And if not gracious, then at least curious.
Absolutely. Yeah. And what is the weirdest thing that you have ever eaten?
Oh, my goodness. Apologies to my South Korean colleagues. I was in South Korea. And I wanted to try sea cucumber because it's a delicacy there. I've tried many different things around the world. This one stopped me dead in my tracks. I just couldn't do it. And it's such a horrible thing because it's expensive and it's a delicacy. And like, oh, I could not. So that's my one thing.
All right. So moving to the next one, what is your favorite place to write?
Someplace that's not my home. Mm-hmm. So to have, like to rent a house in a beautiful setting. Mm-hmm. So I've got nothing around to distract me, just me and my laptop. I know I've got an early morning sort of get up and write, and I've got the rest of the day then to explore. That is my favorite place to write. Awesome. I've done that in the south of France. I've done that at the beach. I've done that. I'm about to do that in Cape Cod, all mm-hmm. over it, you know, just depending on where I am.
Yeah. And the last one for the rapid fire, what is one electronic gadget that you would like to see or invent yourself?
The easy one is time travel. I mean, my life would be so much easier if we could invent some version of time travel. I imagine most people think the same thing.
Yeah.
So I don't have a very creative idea. I think if I did have a creative idea, I might be off doing it.
Yeah, over 90% of my guests have shared time travel is their fantasy gadget. Yeah. You're right. So
I'd give you another fantasy gadget. Really, yeah. Seriously, this one is doable. You know, I travel a lot around the world, and so the passport and security and so on is always an mm-hmm. aggravation. And I have said for ages, just put a chip in my arm. Yeah. You can know where I am at any moment in time. Just let me have a chip that I can kind of breeze through security and everything is crystal clear.
No, that is a superb idea. In fact, it will save tons of time as well. And also... tons of personnel, right? So it's yeah. great. Good idea. I loved it. And folks, I think this is a great startup idea, which maybe you may want to embark on, and reach out to Wanda for many more details on this. And Wanda, with that, let's flip back to the mainstream. And what will be your one piece of advice to those aspiring to grow in their careers or move out of their comfort zone?
All right. So growth happens out of your comfort zone. I know it's scary. You have to just do it. And I know you're going to feel like an imposter, but that is normal. You should feel a little bit anxious, nervous, worried, question if you're good enough when you're doing something you haven't yet mastered. That is a normal human thing. So it's not like there's something wrong with you. It's normal. Mm-hmm. Yes. And the secret to succeeding is knowing who you're going to call, who's going to help you to fill the gaps that you don't know, and then understanding what your value is. And there's no substitute for trying it, because when you try it once, then it's more comfortable to try it a second time. But careers are made from people who will get out of their comfort zone, take a reasonable risk, have success, deal with some setbacks, and move on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fabulous. I loved it. And these days we are coming across this success happens outside your comfort zone. And that is where most of the stuff lies in. Yeah. Wonderful. And how is your experience?
If you think about running a company, and you think if you were the head of the company, what you would want is you would want new ideas. You would want new innovations. You would want something that distinguishes you from your competitors. Yeah. If those were immediately obvious and in the comfort zone, they would already be done or be in process. The breakthroughs are the ones that are out of the comfort zone. So you got to take some risks, calculated risks, not wild ones.
Yeah. Super. And how is your experience being hosted on The Guiding Voice?
Really good. What a great set of questions and a great interview.
All right. Thank you. And same with me. I loved talking to you, and all the points are really actionable, and there is a ton of learning. And I'm sure I'm going to grab a copy of your book as well. And Wanda, thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you for your time and all the valuable insights.
Thank you for having me. What a fun conversation.
So, friends, that was our episode with Wanda Wallace. And before we dive into the exciting trivia section, we have a small request for you. If you haven't already, we kindly invite you to subscribe to our podcast. And by subscribing, you will stay updated with our latest episodes, ensuring you never miss out on the valuable content. And if you have enjoyed this episode and found it beneficial, we would be extremely grateful if you could share it with at least three of your friends or colleagues who can also benefit from the guiding voice, spread the knowledge, and empower others to learn and grow just like you. And your support means the world to us. Not only will your friends gain new insights, but we will also gain new subscribers, allowing us to continue producing valuable content for you and our growing community. Thank you so much in advance for your support, and let's embark on this journey of knowledge together. All right, now let's hop into the trivia segment. And today's trivia is about comfort zone. You know, average person spends 90% of their time in their comfort zone, and it takes an average of 21 days to break a habit. And the fear of failure is one of the biggest reasons why people stay in their comfort zone. And average person has about 10,000 to 20,000 thoughts per day. In case if you are able to induce something around breaking the comfort zone in those thoughts, then definitely it will be possible to break the comfort zone and embrace something beyond what you have already seen. And you know, only 1% of the people live their lives to the fullest. And I wish you will be one of those 1%. And folks, I'm also curious to understand, what did you do to break your comfort zone? And looking forward to your comments either on YouTube or on social media. And that's a wrap for today's episode. We sincerely appreciate you tuning in and being part of our incredible community. And we would love to hear from you. Your feedback and ideas mean the world to us. Please don't hesitate to share your topic recommendations and suggestions for some wonderful guest speakers through our vibrant social media channels, or by dropping us an email at theguidingvoiceforyou@gmail.com. Remember, together we can create content that truly resonates with you. I'm your host, Navin Samala, a dedicated professional and an insatiable learner. And my mission is to make the world a better place. My mission is to make the world a better place through meaningful conversations that have a lasting impact on your life and your career. Stay connected with us as we continue this enlightening journey together. And until we meet again, take care, stay inspired. And remember, the best is yet to come. Bye for now. Take care, folks.